Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Rob Ray joins Chopin Bulldog game days at 4. Howard and Jeremy welcome Marty Biron Thursday mornings at 7:30 on WGR Sports Radio 550.
And there they all are right there. What's in there? Sal Capaccio's in there. Jeremy White, Chopin the Bulldog. There's Alan Davis, John and Brian Cozio, Pat Malacaro. Whole crew is in there.
Really?
And you know what? Paul is the only one upstairs working. The rest of the guys are on vacation.
What's in there, Rob says. Dolly Parton. Paul. Dolly Parton's still killing it out there.
I know.
In the world.
She's the best.
She is the best.
She is just the best.
Guess her age.
75.
I think she's going to say
correct.
79.
75 is correct. Boy,
this guy guesses everything.
I mean, everything.
I look at her Wikipedia page every day. So
every hour.
Yeah, but you weren't here for Mike. They, Joe and Bulldog invited me for a game when you were off one day.
How'd that go?
I don't know, guys. How'd that go?
That's right. How did it's up to them, I guess. How do you guys think it went? What game? I want to play.
Who he didn't play for, right? Who he not play for?
Yes. That's right. Yeah, Paul killed it in that game.
Yeah, I rolled up like an 8-2 lead at the
NHL.
Yeah,
all sports
stomped me.
Baseball, football, and NHL.
Paul, are you would you consider yourself a sports trivia whiz?
No, I didn't think I'd do very good at the game at all. Quite honestly, I was lucky that day.
Okay.
I did do very well, and I was frustrating the boys, but truth be known, it was just a lucky day on my part.
The hustle continues.
Paul, there was no frustration, Paul. I was very happy for you.
The hustle continues. Paul playing a very long game here. We'll see how it ends. All right. Will Borgen, this was the scenario that I would say it sounded to me sort of worried. I've got that word. I'm sort of careful with that word. Worried fans the most, but maybe didn't worry them a great deal. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, and it's a shame because, you know, the Sabres can be rightly accused of not properly developing some of the players along the way in the past 10 years. But in Will Borgen's case and in Linus Allmark's case, you put 6 years of development in both these players, and I think you did it right, you know, including his college days, you know, after you drafted him. And now he's just to a point where he can become, I think, a really solid third pair D and maybe, who knows, develop into a second pair D. You know, he's 24 years old right now, he'll be 25 in December, because he's got that kind of mentality of, you know, that first pass is good. He's got some speed. He can get up into the play if he has to. You know, he's good along the wall. He can bring a bit of toughness to your D and not take himself out of the play. He's an excellent penalty killer. And, you know, you just put all that development into him and then you just lose him. But you don't know if it's for nothing. That's the thing. Because we don't know right now what is the return going to be on Rasmus Ristolainen. If it's a third or fourth round pick, this was a disaster. If it's close to what Adams is looking for, which is a high draft pick and a high prospect, all right, you did good. Nice job. Better than I ever thought you would do in that. So I think that's what this all depends on is what are you going to get for Ristolainen that made you protect him and let Will Borgen go?
You know, Paul, it sort of dawned on me during the first hour of today's show that, you know, maybe you want to get me, like, as hot as I'm going to get about all this, you know, the Ristolainen v. Borgen choice. And, you know, I mean, obviously there's nothing to be done about it now, but I think the Sabres, you know, I've said it many times, you know, it took a catastrophe to get Borgen in the lineup at all this year, and he acquitted himself well. It was not very many games, but, you know, the biggest failing in all of this is they didn't take this season as an opportunity to find out really what they had in the guy. You know, like, you could be encouraged by what we saw in the 14 games he's played and the 10 he played this year. But if he'd played, you know, 50 games for them, and I know he got hurt, and like, there's nothing they can do about that, but they could have started with him earlier this year, and instead he was taxi squad, and it never really made any sense to me. So we'd have a better idea whether he could be that second pair guy and what his value would really be, and maybe that would have made this decision a little bit, you know, harder for them to make, and protecting him would have made more sense. But they're sending him off into the world, I think, still not really knowing what he's capable of in the NHL. And that, to have somebody in your organization for that amount of time who is clearly ready to play in the NHL this year, I just think really stinks.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just another coaching error by Kruger. Because Kruger finally realized when he put him in the lineup, which I believe was February 15th, and then all of a sudden I asked the question, he goes, no, he's not coming out. That's how well he played. He was great. I remember one situation, they were down 5-on-3. He was like, I don't remember the team they were playing. They didn't even get a chance on net, and he was one of the big parts. I think he blocked 3 shots and was just a tower of strength in that. And Kruger finally admitted that maybe it was a mistake not having him in the lineup long before that, and then he broke his forearm and was out for 2 months, and that was the end of that. But, yeah, for the coach not to realize that, you know, maybe this guy on our taxi squad should be in the lineup, and maybe this guy named Asplund who's sitting in our taxi squad should probably be in the lineup. But you do have guys like Cody Eakin in your lineup and that group. A lot of that was just a poor coaching and not getting him in there to give him the opportunity. Because once he got the opportunity, even though it was for a short period of time before he broke his forearm, he did very well.
Well, the technical term for that might be saving your own butt. Like, this is one of those cases where maybe, at least, it seems on the surface, like, I got to win games and I can't develop right now. Like, those philosophies can seem like they're in conflict, and really what you need in those moments is a higher power in your organization to make that decision. That's why coaches being as transient as they are in the sport, you know, giving a coach a lot of power like that, especially when he hadn't won in the league before, is very, very risky. So, because I'm not saying it's easy to do that. You just have to, like, no. All these losing years, and the Sabres are still not at a place where, like, the young guys, here's an example, where the young guy in a season going nowhere wasn't really evaluated. And that just should never happen, right? In an organization right. That's at the bottom of the standings, that really should never happen.
Well, Mike, where the word no should have come up long before anybody was putting a uniform on. When Kruger came to Adams and said, I'd like Cody Eakin, that's when the word no should have been said. But the Pegulas had empowered the coach to almost have more power than the GM. So it was basically, all right, the coach is going to let you know the players he wants. But that's when the word no should have been said, long before Cody Eakin ever got a Buffalo Sabre sweater on.
So in this expansion draft scenario, there could be a lot more action beyond just the roster. Like, what we have is Seattle saying to teams or just telling, you know, just deciding, we're taking this player. But by the end of the night, maybe there are lots of other moves, or at least some other moves, where you went like, oh, so you're going to trade the player back or do something where you're making some other deal ultimately with the team. That could happen.
Yeah, well, that's what's not leaking out of the trades.
Right.
And I got to believe, I mean, maybe Montreal made a trade to keep them off Carey Price. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, but you look through I mean, why is Morgan Geeky the guy taken from the Carolina Hurricanes? They had a pretty decent defenseman out there. I mean, so did the Hurricanes make a trade? So you would take Morgan Geeky. Did Columbus make a trade? So you'd take Gavin Bayreuther, a defenseman. Now, we do know in Adam Larson's case, he was an unrestricted free agent from the Edmonton Oilers, and Seattle made a deal and signed him, so he now becomes their player that they are going to lose. I think Dreger of the Florida Panthers, the goaltender, is another one that's going to fall into that category. The Philadelphia Flyers, they're going to lose Carson Twarinski, a forward. Really? You know, is that really who you wanted, Seattle, or was there a trade made there too? So at least we know pretty much everybody. I think I've seen everybody except the Detroit Red Wings pick, and I've been I was talking to Rochester before you and doing some things for Channel 2, so in the last half hour I haven't looked for Detroit's picks. So we pretty much know through all the leaks who's going to be taken from what team, but at least it seems like it's going to be fresh learning about the trades.
Yeah, that could be just the beginning.
Yeah, I think it's at least somewhat interesting, Paul. Like I'm imagining doing this show in Montreal today. We don't speak French, so that there's one problem with this scenario. But like in a certain way, what you would have learned today about Carey Price's value, and then we all knew this. I mean, the contract is monstrous. It's $10.5 million for 5 more years. But like no other team in the league. Like if I'm Seattle, what am I doing when Carey Price is on that list? Like, I'm not starting my team with a $10.5 million goalie for 5 more years. He's going to be 34 years old before this season even begins. But I think I'm calling around to see if some other contending team is interested at all in him. And maybe even trying to keep some salary. Like, I don't know. You can do that if you're them, right? They don't have to keep the players that they select. And you could have maybe done all right in some of the – you say the same thing about Tarasenko. But – like Seattle chose not to even bother with that because I would assume there's not an appetite for that. So like Montreal is just like, I'd feel stuck even though the guy led them to the finals. And that's obviously what you're in it for, is to get a chance at the cup. But boy, I just think his value, you know, and just having that player on your roster would be hard to stomach right now, knowing that there's not a market for his services at that price.
And I think Seattle did pretty good getting a couple of pretty good goaltenders. Vitek Vanacek did pretty well with Washington this year. And you don't have the heavy price tag of Price or the age, you know, in the two goaltenders.
Right.
I'm not going to kid you, think I know all that much about Joey Decord from the Ottawa Senators.
Come on.
Took him too. But the other two I know
yeah,
about.
Yeah, Dreger, I mean, he didn't play a lot, but his numbers were fantastic on a team that wasn't that good defensively, really, I don't think. So,
and he was well thought of even before that too.
Yeah.
At least in two of the guys, and a guy I just don't know what they have, but in two of the guys, I think they did pretty well in goal.
And I know Travis Yost gave that player, Decord, a thumbs up today. A couple things. So I think Seattle's done smartly by avoiding those contracts, by avoiding Price. I mean, Price had a good run this year. For years, he's been mediocre. Like, there's no way you're doing that. But to Bulldog's point, does that mean – would you assume that means that nobody in the league wanted him either? Like, that would seem optimal for Seattle to be doing all that. Like, why wouldn't they? There is a potential answer to that. Why wouldn't they? And that's sort of like what you get with NHL GMs, I think, where it's sort of like they're not as competitive as I would like. You know, that's Jeremy's offer sheet crusade. And, like, I don't know. Montreal was complaining already, I believe, about the possibility that Price would go. Like, okay, well, it's just not – it's not beyond the realm of outcomes here that, you know, teams are just – they're still trying to get along and stay within the system a little bit. So maybe there's some of that. But if I'm Seattle, I'm not – I certainly don't want to take Price on.
In my opinion, if you're a good GM and Carey Price is your goaltender, you're hoping they take him because for the reasons you just outlined.
Yeah.
You know, with the heavy salary cap hit, the age. I mean, if you're a good GM, I think you're hoping – that Seattle takes him off your hands.
And this also, like, Vegas, we know how good they were right away. I think Seattle will be good too. Like, I'm gonna bet the over on Seattle blind, because there's gonna be smart people there, and some of these contracts around the league, like every team almost has at least one contract where like the team is forced in protecting them, or just like the number of those contracts just makes it easier to find value elsewhere in these expansion drafts, and those teams are kind of stuck with those players. Oposo, you know, if there's no contract, maybe Oposo is interesting to Seattle because veteran, right? Scores a little, whatever, like whatever reasons. But it's just like, it's just going to be a no. And I think, you know, that's what you've got in the league now. Everybody's so even. You want that low cost value. And there's lots of it in hockey. So Seattle will do a lot of that here today, it seems. And then maybe this will be maybe what it comes down to, Paul, is two or three big fish. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're probably desirable to players who are kind of out there right now.
Well, this is where Vegas made their where they got a bunch of good players is in these deals.
Yeah, Florida.
That are coming up that we don't know about yet. They got some awfully good players that are still there because of some of these deals they made in addition to what the expansion draft brought them. You know, made deals so, you know, they wouldn't take certain players. You know, the Florida Panthers, you know, right. Marchessault was part of that. I think Riley Smith might have been part of that,
yep.
If I'm thinking correctly. You know, so that's where they made a lot of their hay, was because of these deals that they made.
Right. Well, so tonight will be interesting for that. The Sabres will lose Borgen, it appears. Maybe there'll be more action. When it comes to Ristolainen, that, and you've talked about it a little bit already, that sort of decision, if it was one versus the other, you want to conclude, comes down to what the Sabres might have lined up for Ristolainen. You don't think, I'm going to laugh as I ask this because I know who the player is. You don't think they want him on the team, do you?
It's possible. Very possible. In which case, he plays one more year and maybe you move him at the trade deadline then. You know, I don't know. Or you just let him go for nothing, trying to re-sign him. Yeah, that's a possibility. I wouldn't say no.
Yeah. I mean, the whole we want guys who want to be here mantra, I mean, Ristolainen hasn't said, I want to get out of here. But he certainly hasn't sounded ever in the last few years opposed to being traded either. So, you know, maybe when he sits down with Kevin Adams, he just says, like, if you want to move me, that's fine. But if I'm here, I'll play my ass off for you. You know, like, because maybe this is how he's wired or something. So maybe they would still find value in that. I mean, I don't know.
If they made the playoffs this year somehow, I know you're going to laugh, but yeah. If they made the playoffs this year, I don't think he'd mind staying. I think that's what it's all about. It's not that he hates the city. I don't even think he hates the organization or anything like that. You know, he wants to play playoff hockey, and if that's in Buffalo, I think he's totally fine with that. But that's an awfully big if.
Paul, a couple quick other things. I'm sure you would appreciate the significance here of the Blue Jays run ending, right? Like, you got to a game, you were sort of, you seemed thrilled to do it. I was. I got to six, yeah. I believe. And so, like, just what your thoughts? Like, what a cool thing this has been.
I really enjoyed it, and, you know, even though I'm not, you know, being a Yankee fan, I'm not real enthralled with the Boston Red Sox, but I was excited to watch them. You know, they're fun. They're a good team to watch. So, you know, I wanted to go Monday, and I saw the Miami Marlins for the first time in my life. I had never seen them before, and I've seen most major league teams, but I hadn't seen them. And, of course, when the Yankees were in, I saw them and got an opportunity to see the Baltimore Orioles, which I don't believe I had ever seen before. I don't think I'd ever been up in Toronto to see the Orioles. So it was just a great opportunity, and an opportunity I know I'll never see again in my lifetime unless, God forbid, there's another pandemic or something that, you know, forces this to happen. And I hope, you know, I don't see another one of those in my lifetime either. So it was just a once-in-a-lifetime experience that I just very much enjoyed. And it's great that people in Buffalo got the opportunity to be able to do that.
Right on.
Right, and the Bisons got all these upgrades to the ballpark out of it. I don't know, like, I'm assuming Toronto footed the bill for most, if not all, of that stuff. But I don't know that. I don't know that that's been reported on, but still pretty cool. And then the Bisons are coming home. You know,
yeah.
I feel like every time I go to a Bison game, let alone a major league game in their stadium, I feel like, boy, I should do this more often. Right. So I just went Monday to see the Red Sox. And of course, I'm thinking, ooh, the Bisons are coming back. All right. I'm going to make sure I get to some games. And like, I hope I remember to do that because I do really like being there. Like, it doesn't have to. It was really cool that it was, you know, Vladimir Guerrero and you know, all the guys, Bichette and Biggio, the whole crew of Blue Jays. And of course, the Red Sox, too. And, you know, all stars here. But it, I don't want to say it doesn't matter who's in the uniforms, but, you know, going to a AAA game, I'm going to sit and watch a ball game and drop some peanuts in my beer and have a nice night. You know, like,
you
I got to remember to do that.
Drop peanuts in your beer. That was interesting.
Better lighting than there used to be.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, good stuff at a ball game, hot National Hot Dog Day, are you guys going to be celebrating that today or?
I don't believe so, Paul. I've got dinner plans, and hot dogs are not on the menu.
Did you see that hot dog I tweeted out that I had with Rob? That 2-foot hot dog.
It doesn't look like a hot dog. It looks like a giant pickle.
Well, it's a New York City hot dog. You know, it has the relish and all that kind of stuff, and it's 2 feet, 2-footer. And he had, if you look at the picture, he also had sliders to his left there too that he was going to eat. So he had quite a day there with his 2-foot hot dog and his sliders. That's what I miss. I'm going to miss all that, you know, with kind of broadcasters staying home and that kind of stuff.
It's not an impossible feat. I mean, you've probably eaten 2-foot-long hot dogs at one time.
I actually haven't.
I was talking to Joe then. No, I bet I have. I think
the most hot dogs I've ever eaten, like a regular size Salins hot dog I've ever eaten in one sitting would be 3. So that doesn't equal 2 feet. That might be 1.25 feet.
When I was like an athlete and weighed 165 pounds and was in high school and could eat anything, I did polish off a large pizza.
That's not a world record. The hamburger is sitting there next to Rob. I don't know. It's good.
Yeah, those sliders.
It's good. It's just not like, you know, the restaurants will have the, okay, if you can eat, we've got a pizza. And we're going to top it with chicken wings and fries. And if you can eat the whole thing in 5 minutes, you don't have to pay for it.
And if I recall, he polished off the dessert that night, too.
Oh, well.
And it's a bowling alley.
Not
in the middle of Manhattan, Esiason's place was a bowling alley.
Not meaning to disparage Rob's accomplishments in the eating realm at all. Thank you, Paul. We may be back in touch. Who knows what kind of day it'll be.
Take care, guys.
All right, this is Paul Hamilton on our Wester Hotline, and his appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax. We got this.
I am ready for the Sabres to get started with their starting over. Any minute. Let's go. Any minute. Anytime you're ready. Does today do that yet? So far, not really. Kind of, it's more the same. But, you know, this what was going to happen today, at least so far. They're taking one player. You're not taking anything back. You're giving up one player, and that's what's happened. I'm ready for the stuff. I'm ready for the big stuff. The draft is Friday. It should happen soon. It had better happen.
Yes.
803-0550 for your thoughts. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Again, the thing with Eklund is you're not going to get him right away. Most likely going to play in the SHL again next season. I can see it. You know, I personally wouldn't take him before Owen Power. But if you're looking for a forward and you think you have a kid there, gives you versatility, who can be trusted already late in games, I think that's sort of the interesting thing about Eklund that you don't see with a lot of teenagers, especially in the SHL, is that coaches really trusted him. So he does have a responsible side to him.
From a recent appearance on WGR, Ryan Kennedy of the Hockey News talking there about the player Eklund, William Eklund, the top of the draft. Sabres, whether or not they think they have a choice to make, you know, or it's like on the table, a player other than Owen Power at 1 overall. Maybe they'll come up with another draft pick. Maybe they'll get more than one guy. Remains to be seen. Today is the expansion draft. Most of the picks have been leaked. Will Borgen is expected to be the player Seattle takes from Buffalo. Then we have the trade window reopen tomorrow for the period between then and the draft, which starts Friday night, and then the rest of it is Saturday. Should be an interesting 72 hours.
I would think. Yeah, I am. Listen, we've been burned before, expecting action.
Oh yeah,
but I mean, it would just blow my mind if we are not sitting here, you know, a week from now, or you know, as soon as Monday, just sort of talking and poring over all of what has happened, because I just would expect, you know, that there will be a lot. You know, if the Sabres value getting draft picks for this draft as part of the return, you know, I'm sitting here as we're talking with Paul earlier, and even amongst ourselves in the first hour of the show, you know, Ryan O'Reilly was traded on free agency day, and that is not until July 28th. But I think the draft is, because of Eichel and what the Sabres are seeking in return, I would think that they would favor getting picks that they know where they're going to be, as opposed to trading with teams that you have no idea what the pick is, you know, at the time you make it. You can guess and estimate where you think, you know, various teams are going to end up in the standings, but there's no knowing.
Right. I want to have a good weekend here, and then I can get to proposing that the Sabres offer their number one pick next year to some other team for theirs. Oh yeah? Ottawa? You have Pierre Maguire, you think you're so hot? Well, even without Eichel, we're going to beat you. I mean, maybe like, I wouldn't pick just anybody for that. I wouldn't pick like Colorado for that, but some teams maybe. Some teams maybe I'd want to bet on myself against. Tonight is it for the Blue Jays in Buffalo. My son has a friend. I see him a lot. Big Red Sox fan. Loves baseball. Wears number 50 on his team because of Betts. Of course, has left the Red Sox, but still, That's his guy. And the whole summer, he had last night's ticket. Like, he was going to last night's game. And he was there. Yeah. He and his mom, I think. I'm not sure who else, but he told me today he was there for the game. And then, of course, no game. It was what I thought would happen. If they didn't play, they'd reschedule the game for Toronto.
Yeah.
So that is what they're doing there.
Boy, that's tough. I mean, I'm just so glad that when I got, you know, the way this came together for me on Monday was when I was on the road with Owen earlier this summer, like mid-June, early June. I got a text and then eventually a phone call from one of our sales managers, and he said, like, I've got a chance for you to do it. Which game do you want? I said, give me Monday. That was it. It was, you know, more than a month out, you're not like thinking about the weather forecast. It's fine. Give me Monday. I'll take the series opener. And, you know, very well could have said Tuesday, or he could have said, well, I can't get Monday, try Tuesday. And that would have been my one chance to do that. And I could have missed out. So anybody that was like your friend, I feel for him, because it was really cool being there to see the Red Sox in Buffalo.
Right, and there's no plan B, really. I'm not sure what tickets would be left for tonight. Maybe not very many. You know, most of them would have been bought, and the game's not going to be rescheduled here, so that's just tough.
Yep.
I made a friend at the game on Friday night, Texas, right? Jonah Heim. And I was sitting with a guy. I got talking with him. He was great. Like, definitely knew his baseball. And he asked. He thought maybe one of the Jays' coaches was John Olerud. And like, no, he's not. I don't think so. I looked that up. That was right. He's not on the Jays staff. But there was one guy who looked to him like John Olerud. And I asked this guy, do you know the story about John Olerud and Ricky Henderson? And he said, no. And so, well, let me just tell it real quick. The story goes, Henderson and Olerud were teammates with the Mets. And Olerud, if you don't know, it's a long time ago now, wore a helmet in the field. He had an aneurysm, I think, in college. And so he played first base throughout his career. He always had a helmet on in the field. I mean, how many times have you seen that? So Henderson and Olerud were teammates on the Mets, and then they were both on Seattle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, late, a few
how
years
I remember
later.
The story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They were teamed up again on the Mariners, and Henderson noticed that Olerud had played like an inning or something with a helmet on in the field. And that Ricky asks Olerud about it. Like, what's the deal with that? And then, so Olerud says, you know, I had an aneurysm, and so I wear a helmet in the field for safety or whatever. And Henderson says back to him, oh, I played with a guy in New York like that, which was him.
Yeah, right.
So this is a famous story, and the guy I was talking to on Friday night loved it. Like, that's a great story.
It is a great story.
So my daughter and I ended up moving to another part, to another seat. We had other friends there, and so we left this guy in the middle of the game and said, keep in touch. The next day, I got an email from him. So Saturday, I got an email from him, you know, nice to meet you and everything. And he's like, by the way, here's an update on your Olrud story. I like your version more. So I'm like, ooh, what is this? You know, want to know the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a link to a speech Olrud is giving somewhere, you know, later on in his life. And it's great. He's super good at it. It's like 2 or 3 minutes long. So I click on it, and Olrud says, I bet everybody in here knows the story with me and Ricky Henderson. And like, people laugh if they know it. And he tells it, in case you don't know, if you're in the room, it's like a banquet or something.
Mm-hmm.
He tells it, in case you don't know. He tells the same story I just told. And he's like, unfortunately, it's not true at all.
Mm.
I know, right?
Yeah.
He says, what happened was that the Mets had a clubhouse manager who loved to just mess with everybody. If your picture was in the paper, he would be the type to cut it out and post it on another story or something, and like make something up about you and just like post it in the clubhouse.
Okay.
But the Mets, Olrud named him in this speech. He's like, the Mets had this guy, Steve or whatever, who used to do that all the time. And when I went to Seattle, this guy thought up that story, meaning Olrud, right? That this clubhouse guy thought up this story and started telling Mets players, did you hear what Ricky said about Olrud? And they're all like, no. And he made up the story, you know, to get laughs.
Right, right.
And
it just grew from there to the point where you've heard it and told it on this show, and probably lots of people that have heard you tell the story have remembered the story and told the story, and it's just grown like wildfire all around baseball and around sports, and it's not true.
It's not true at all. It grew to the point where, like, millions of fans maybe knew this story and thought it hilarious about Ricky Henderson. Poor Ricky Henderson. But anyway, it was believable, I guess, Henderson.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he was on a million teams, and it was totally believable.
It sort of makes fun of him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I believed it. I don't know. But it was Olrud says in this speech, which maybe goes back many years also, like, it's totally made up, and it never happened. So.
Well, that's too bad.
That's too bad, right?
Right. I'm going to choose to continue to believe this.
Me too.
Okay.
I might forget this development and go back to remembering, hey, I remember a story about Ricky Henderson that's really great.
Right. Yeah.
Tonight it is Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray pitched. He's been good. He pitched that game Friday against Texas, and I think threw maybe 6 shutout innings or something. And Garrett Richards for Boston in the last Buffalo Blue Jays game. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Coming up at 5:30, Seth Tupel from Locked On Wild. Might Minnesota have the best chance of all the other teams of trading for Jack Eichel here in the coming days? We'll go over that with him. Lines are open for you, 803-0550 here on WGR.
I have always said my name is Jason Kelce my entire life, and I will continue to do so moving forward because that is my name. This all started because my brother and I are not closely linked with my dad's side of the family. My grandfather on his side died before we were born. We're really close with his sister, my aunt, but we never really talked about how to pronounce our name. So growing up, my dad, when he was working in the steel mills, decided to change his name to Kelce because he was tired of correcting people. Originally, the name was pronounced Kelce by the rest of the family, and it still is pronounced Kelce by the rest of the family that we're not really familiar with.
Kelsegate.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kelce. Fine. I'm more comfortable going back with Kelce now. I did a Pros versus Joes draft Sunday night and listened to a couple other broadcasts of other such drafts. Nobody's saying Kelce. Nobody's even willing to try. Like, it did not start a movement. Travis Kelce's comments from what, a week or two ago.
Right.
So we're good now?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I never really reached any sort of a crisis about it. I was probably just going to keep crying.
Crisis.
We're good, but isn't that confirmation that it is Kels?
Well, it was involved, that explanation. It was involved.
Right.
Who decides?
Right. Can I just decide how my name's pronounced all of a sudden?
I think maybe who decides?
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara had a thing. He was a rookie. He was great as a rookie. So we found out who Alvin Kamara was. And I'm not going to remember this. Like someone asked him Kamara or Kamara. And I think he said Kamara. I've always said Kamara since then. And it had something to do with like his mom prefers it. Like, or maybe his parents disagree or something like that on how to say it. I don't know. So it was something like that. But yeah, who's in charge of the decision? Dad?
Joe Buck.
Fine. We'll leave it to Joe Buck.
He sits high atop a throne at the Fox headquarters, and these name challenges get brought to him, and he rules, and that is binding.
And that's it.
That's how it works. That's it. Yep.
Sneaky Joe, no relation, in golf attire today. And did you tweet something about like a career best round?
Best round in a couple years, I would say.
Tell us about it.
The type of golfer I am, probably like a low to mid-90s golfer is probably where I average. Generally, when you're in that range, one or two things are working for you every day, but always something's not. Like, drives are all over the place, but I'm chipping well. Or putting great, but I can't hit my irons. And today is just one of those days where just everything was working. That happens, I would say, like once or twice a season for me, where just everything was working. Okay, today was that day. And then you just feel you have this natural high the rest of the day when that happens.
What is a season for you? 20 rounds of golf?
Yeah.
More?
Probably about 20. Probably. Okay. Roughly.
It's okay. So.
So, yeah. Just
what
today.
Did you shoot?
What did I shoot? 87.
87, where?
All right.
At Chestnut Hill in Darien.
Okay. Good.
First time there. First time at a course.
First look at it.
Yeah.
You're like Morikawa. He's never played the Open. He goes and wins it.
And yep. It was pretty slow because, I mean, rained a lot the last couple of days. So the course was wet. It was fine. Like there weren't giant puddles and everything.
Does that suit your game, slower greens?
Yeah, it does. Hmm. Playing a lot of... par three.
It's a lot easier to stick
up.
It close like you like to, Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's just, soft. Yeah, that's right.
The course was merciless. Or no, wait. No, that's not right.
It was vulnerable.
It was vulnerable, right.
It was at
there
Joe's mercy.
It was there for the taking.
It was there for the taking. It was at your mercy.
Yes. Right.
Not merciless. That's the opposite.
So yeah, 87, right. Which was my best probably couple of years. Breaking 90 is usually what I gun for every round.
Bulldog, what's your best golf game you've ever had?
84.
Me too. It's my best round ever.
84.
At Alma Meadows.
Not recently.
No. It would have been in the era in which my friend Mike crashed the golf cart into the tree.
In those years?
Like the golf cart got stuck in a tree. Yes, in those years, era. It's the Alma Meadows era, yes.
I don't say this. I'm not bragging by saying this. If my friend drove a golf cart into a tree at a game, like I'm with him, I'm not going to be able to hit the ball.
Well, it was at the end of the round.
Leaving.
You know,
I would not be able to hit the ball.
Yeah, he and his friend, we had two carts. It was just the three of us. The two of them went with the carts, and they were racing, and he tried to cut this corner and hit this low-hanging tree limb, and the cart went right up 90 degrees, right up into the tree, and it was hilarious.
How do you come back from that, though? Right, like, good thing it was
I don't know that I've ever played there again since. I'm not even kidding.
Just can't show your face.
I just don't. I don't think I've ever been.
It's probably been long enough.
They didn't. Yeah. Well, you're right. I would not have been connected with the incident. I was not involved. I was in the parking lot. you know, 300 yards away from where it happened. So
that's your story.
I wasn't involved. And so it's not like I could, you know, I couldn't have gone back there. I just kind of didn't go back there.
You were 300 yards away when this happened?
Give or
I
take.
I feel like it would be funnier when you're
away. Could you measure that on your GPS?
I mean, I'm just estimating.
Oh,
I don't know.
300 yards.
It was far away, but it wasn't so far away that I couldn't hear the beeping from him putting the cart in reverse, even though all four wheels were off the ground. Like, he was hoping he could just get some traction and back out of the tree, is what would he. And so he's sitting in the car, beep, 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 and spinning the wheels. And I'm on the ground in the parking lot, just dying.
Wow.
He gets out finally, and he yells, "Little help, Parks!" I'm like, I can't do it.
I would have driven away, I think.
Just laugh.
Yeah. That would have run for the hills. 300 yards. So a short par four distance between you and that.
I'd say, yeah. I mean, it's a rough estimate. It's been a long time ago now. But, yeah, probably about that. Maybe 200. I don't know. It was far.
I've seen some things, but never that. 78 for me twice.
Nice.
All right.
Wanaka and Wayne Hills.
Wayne Hills.
Wayne County.
Oh, okay.
Right? You still thinking about that cart?
The last time we talked about this was pretty recently. The guy, the guilty party, the driver of the cart texted me, and he just texted me again. He's on vacation. I don't know why.
Love him.
He's listening to the show. He's in St. Thomas. And he said, and now the locals are hearing this story.
That's awesome. What's up, St. Thomas?
All right.
Shout out.
Yeah, right. What's up, U.S. Virgin Islands?
Yes. We're very big there.
Right. Thanks, Cry.
How is the expansion draft going for Seattle? What have the Sabres lost in Will Borgen? And what about Minnesota as a Jack Eichel trade partner? All of that and more next hour as we continue. The expansion draft is announced. The roster is announced tonight by Seattle on ESPN. And there could be, or even maybe I want to say will be, trades, like deals that have been made behind the scenes between Seattle and these respective teams, perhaps including the Sabres. We'll take this guy if we can trade for that. And that stuff we don't think we know yet at all. So it could still be an interesting night. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.